Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Deep State today on American Family Radio, where we interview people who control and run the Deep State. Coming up next, I'm not going to say a name because I don't want them deep stating me.
Swamp is strong.
Or deep sixing you.
Yeah. Huh?
Or deep sixing you.
Right. Or never to be heard from again.
That's right. Or sleeps with the fishes or anything else.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. The swamp is strong this one.
We laugh, and it is, you know, what do you do, right? But we all know we have a war going on over the future of our country. It's a political war, it's an ideological war, and it's a spiritual war.
That's right.
Yep. And we talk about all three on here. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost for us is the spiritual aspect, because we are a Christian ministry and a Christian radio network. And there's good versus evil. And it's been around since
Garden of Eden.
Since Satan challenged God and was cast down, I suppose, before the Garden of Eden, right?
Now, Steve, just one up to you there, Ed.
Just got to contradict me on national radio.
Well, I'm talking about between humans and the human in the human world.
That's what I was talking
about. Yeah.
But so Steve is technically correct. Yeah, that's right. The devil started it.
Right.
He started this.
That's what Adam said.
Yeah, but our, that's right. Not my fault.
Our country, but as Sandy Reels talked about last hour, it is, Fred, we are in a critical time. Mm-hmm. In America, in terms of, are we going to turn away from our traditions, our history, our heritage, the reason our founding fathers started this country in the first place, that is individual liberty and freedom and human rights and freedom of conscience and freedom of speech and freedom of religion, freedom of commerce, freedom to travel, all those things that I just mentioned in many places in the world are not allowed. And that's the history of humankind, is kings and tyrants and dictators. And so this experiment, 200 year plus experiment, 200, what are we now, 40 something years, whatever it is in self-governance.
Yep.
That's at stake.
You know, you mentioned something very critical in all of this. What is happening in America today has happened before. We have history of countries, of leaders who have all gone this direction and destroys. Ed, you wrote an article many years ago for the Journal, and you were quoting someone who looked at the ingredients that lead up to the fall of a country. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. That was, well, that's, that may be 15 years ago. That was, yeah, I read a couple of books that were, oddly enough, hard to get. I found them in print. One was J.D. Unwin. Mm-hmm. He was a anthropologist, a British anthropologist, and Peter M. Sorokin, who was the founder of the sociology department at Harvard University. Both of them had written books. Unwin was, his book was in 1934. Sorokin's was in 1956, I want to say. And they both independently, both of them were secularists, evolutionists, so on and so forth, but they examined what leads to the fall, the decay, and eventual fall of a culture, and whether or not cultures, when they're in the process of decaying, can reverse course.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating. They both said with regularity that was, one of them said, I forget the exact word, but he said it happened so often, it became boring. Hmm. They both found, after studying 80 different cultures, from big to small, that when a society moves away from monogamous marriage, they begin the process of decay.
Yeah.
And they said it was with such regularity, they said it's impossible to ignore this. And they said usually it takes three generations for sexual laxity to take hold in a culture, and then they can't reverse.
Yeah.
Okay. And they said that the only cultures that were able to reverse course were those that had a group, there's usually a small group, that held firm to the ideas that led to their culture's greatness and ascendancy. They had to hold to those beliefs, including monogamous marriage, and suffer ridicule and rejection and isolation and sometimes even violence if they would hold fast to those views and not join the party, okay, of sexual laxity. The culture could be reversed, because what would happen is, in the course of the consequences of decay, the majority of people would turn to this group and say, you said something about why this was a bad idea. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
But if that group joined the party or abandoned their beliefs, there was no hope for the culture. Mm-hmm. When I read that, when I was researching for that article, I wrote a couple of articles on this, I almost came out of my skin, because it was as if they were quoting Jesus saying Christians have to be salt and light in a culture, mm-hmm. or else. And these guys were not Christians.
Yeah.
So Christians have to remain committed to what the Bible says, even though they, like we do, get rejected, isolated, call names, and in some cases there's even violence. It really is an extraordinary couple of books that I read for that. And
I remember.
This is what AFA does and AFR does.
Exactly. Hold strong.
Hey, yes, on a political level, just a minute. Steve, we do care that you're here. And we are gonna ask you to get into the news in just a minute.
Sure.
But I wanted to say this: you were commenting there on the spiritual. Of course, everything in the world is spiritual, and if you look at the Bible one way or another, except, you know what I'm saying,
right?
Not everything, but
it's linked to spiritual realities.
The worldview clashes that are going on around the globe. But I want to encourage people, because I think as we go on here, elections are going to be, we need to focus as much on statewide elections as we do national elections. I know a presidential election gets a lot of attention, as well it should. But we need to elect good state legislators. Obviously city councilmen, but especially state legislators and lieutenant governors and attorney generals and governors. I think these are going to be more and more important as we go on here, because you see what's happening in Texas. And I know some people have been critical of Abbott. He should have done what he's doing now 2 years ago. But I think... you see what happened during COVID. Everybody pounced on DeSantis down in Florida because he opened up the state, saying, "Hey, he's opening up too early. He's killing people." He said, "No, we're not gonna have this. What do you call it? A medical, whatever he had a term for it." But I'm giving you two examples: Abbott, DeSantis, Kemp opened up during COVID earlier. There's some other governors that did a good job of that. But I just remember the whole world came down on DeSantis, you know. Basically saying death Santas and all this. But I'm saying that it's becoming more clear that we're going to need governors who stand up to the federal government.
Right.
And that's probably the issues where that's going to come to the fore are probably going to get more and more numerous.
Yeah.
And more important.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying. So state legislature, and let's think about it. This is why we encourage young people to go to the Patriot Academy and to get involved in law and government and politics, because usually you look at somebody who becomes the governor of a state, they usually started down at the city council level,
right,
or county commissioner. And that's the way it works in America. And you work you work yourself up. And so that's why we encourage Christian young people. Look at Patriot Academy, Rick Green runs. That's a wonderful organization. We promote them. They train Christian conservative young people on how to go into politics, how to run campaigns, how to win races, how to get elected, how to promote good policy, all these things. So I'm just saying that.
By the way, it works in reverse, too.
Go ahead.
I was looking at Gavin Newsom.
What works in reverse?
On the left, people start off on the bottom of the political spectrum, too. Gavin Newsom started off, he's the governor of California now, started off a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, then became the mayor of San Francisco,
right,
lieutenant governor of California, and then governor. So anybody who wants to start in politics in this country has to start at the bottom, and we are encouraging Christians, right, to get involved in starting at the bottom.
You wonder why people say, I hear the question, what in the world does the government have to do with marriage? Why do they have to be involved? Just go to your church, go
with
wherever.
What now?
Why does the government have to be involved in marriage? Don't, you know, why do we have to do this? Go to your church, get married, but keep the government out of it. But this discussion right here, to me, signals why it's in the national interest to have public policy that supports marriage and discourages single parenthood, other than marriage relationships. Because if that falls, like you were saying, Ed, the country falls. So that's right. The reason why the government needs to be involved in these things, because they need to make public policy that supports marriage to help save the country.
Right.
Brad, anything to say here?
No, it all goes back. You know, George Barna, through the years, you know, has given the ingredients of a Christian worldview. It's really important. You know, the Bible is God's word. You start there. That truth does not vary. Biblical truth does not vary. God doesn't change his mind about things. And as we're discussing with Ed, there is historic proof that if you stand on God's word, God is going to bless this. I go back to the Babylonian captivity, Daniel and his three friends, and there were others. They stood their grounds. You know, when it came to Cyrus being the leader at that point, and he said, I'm going to let some of the Jews go back to that land to rebuild once again. God was involved with all of this. He can get, but there needs to be that example out there, as Ed was talking about, however small it is, no, we're going to stand our grounds because we believe in the God of the Bible, and the God of the Bible doesn't change.
And you know what's fascinating about the study that I did is a lot of the cultures that these two individuals studied, they weren't even Christian. A lot of them were pagan, but they were doing things and building their society the way God intended people to build.
Yes.
As Steve was mentioning, with marriage and monogamous marriage being the foundation of culture, even if you don't know God, if you do, in other words, you can still prosper financially by following the principles of the book of Proverbs, even if you don't know the book of Proverbs exists, because
yes,
this is the way God founded
yes,
the human race, and this is the way we're supposed to behave.
That's right.
Hey, a couple of victories to point out that's taken place the last day or two is Governor DeSantis in Florida, of course, the former Republican candidate who withdrew from the presidential race and is backing, said he endorsed former President Trump. Anyway, he went back to Florida to be governor, and he keeps racking up wins. Yesterday, he won against Disney in the federal court.
Mm-hmm.
What, you remember that?
Yeah.
Governor DeSantis and the state legislature in there, Florida, had passed a law where they said you cannot teach sex to kids third grade in our state.
Or younger.
Or younger. Mm-hmm. And the media said they framed that the Don't Say Gay law. Remember that?
Yes. Still do.
So they still do.
Mm-hmm.
So the state of Florida and DeSantis, the governor there, said, okay, Disney, if you're gonna get involved in politics and take this position, then we're going to, I don't know if this is how it went down, but anyway, Disney had a lot of favoritism that they had traditionally been shown in and around the Orlando area.
Yeah.
And the state of Florida and the legislature there and Governor DeSantis basically challenged their special treatment. I'm generalizing here and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't know all the details. So Disney came back and said, oh yeah, you're punishing political speech. And so I'm just saying yesterday, at least, this may be appealed, yesterday at least a federal judge ruled in favor of Governor DeSantis and the state of Florida in this case.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that happened there in Florida was Governor DeSantis. I know it seems like I'm saying his name a lot, but he's like Tom Brady in football. He just wins, okay? Yesterday, or 2 days ago, he announced that that you're not going to be able in the state of Florida on your driver's license to pick your gender.
Wow.
He said, in the state of Florida, your gender on your driver's license is what you're born as.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the left's all upset about that, too. So that was I'm just saying there's some good news. We mentioned Governor Abbott standing up in Texas. That's good news. There are some good things happening on a state level, primarily,
mm-hmm.
around the country. On this broader topic, the founding fathers of our country, they warned us, and they set up structures in place to help us avoid centralized power. You centralize power, human nature being what it is, you're going to end up with tyranny, and you're going to end up with dictatorships, and you're going to end up with, and they may be done in the name of doing good. What politician in Washington says, hey, I want to tear down America. Who's with me? You know what I'm saying? But
You'd be surprised. You start
centralizing. Well, that's true, Steve. You start centralizing power in Washington, D.C., like we've seen happen in the last couple of decades. And President Reagan was steadfastly against this. He stood against this. Remember that? That's when you're going to have more problems with the federal government. Because if you centralize power and the wrong people get in charge, they're going to do what Sandy Rios was talking about the last half hour.
That's right.
So we need to get back to separation of powers and letting the states run their own business for the most part.
Yep.
Unless you've got some kind of obvious constitutional issues. But that's what we're going to have to get back to. That's why we have 50 state governments.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. because our founding fathers did not want the federal government controlling everything.
Yep.
From Washington, D.C. All right. You're listening to, does anybody got anything? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And stop taking money. Stop being dependent on the federal government for money. That's one of the things that has corrupted our education system. The federal government started dealing out billions of dollars to school districts, and then they said things like, okay, we're going to stop giving you money for your meal program unless you follow our liberal agenda.
Right.
We have to be so careful of that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's a problem, too, because federal government, there's no state government in America that can print money. The United States federal government can borrow money and print money, and that's going to eventually catch up with us in a bad way, but I don't know when that's going to happen. But I wouldn't think you could keep going into debt infinitely and not have to suffer the consequences of it. All right, Steve,
hey.
What is your first story?
Well, there was a remarkable hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday with tech CEOs in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the Senate, and this was broadly bipartisan, wanted to figure out why they had a whole bunch of families whose kids had been harmed by social media, either committed suicide because of bullying on there or had pictures, the inappropriate pictures spread around or whatever. And the government, the senators wanted to know why this was happening. There was a remarkable exchange between Josh Hawley, the Missouri congressman, and Mark Zuckerberg.
Senator. Josh Hawley's a senator.
I'm sorry. Yes, senator. My bad. But let me set this up by saying they were talking about the proliferation of hashtags on Instagram that let predators find child sex abuse images. So there's kind of a dark back corner of the social media world. And they wanted to know why there wasn't more restrictions against it, or why you didn't take it off. And so Josh Hawley put up a picture of a splash screen, a page that comes up. If you look, if you put one of these hashtags up, or you look for the do a search on child sexual abuse images, they get a splash screen that comes up. One of the, it has two options. One, you can say, it says these results may contain images of child sexual abuse. Do you want to get resources, or do you want to see the image anyway? That did not go real well for Mr. Zuckerberg. Let's listen to, I think it's cut eight.
Will you take personal responsibility?
Nope, not cut eight.
Senator, I view my job and the job of...
This is...
It's awkward silence.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're going to have to tell us to go off without
cut
you.
Nine,
or
cut nine, cut nine,
cut nine.
Mr. Zuckerberg, what were you thinking? In what sane universe is there a link for C results anyway?
Well, because we might be wrong.
It appears that you're trying to be the premier sex trafficking
site. Of course
site
not, Senator.
In this country.
Senator, that's ridiculous.
No, it is not ridiculous. Why don't you take it down?
We do take
we
it down.
We are here discussing.
We
need you all to work with us. No, you're not.
Have you apologized to the victims? They're here. You're on national television. Would you like now to apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures. Would you like to apologize for what you've done to these good people?
He did. He stood up, turned around.
Zuckerberg did?
Yes, and apologized to the families in the audience that had lost kids.
Yeah. Social media is a very dangerous place. The only part of those kinds of hearings, and we didn't hear the whole thing, but I don't like it when, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican, but I don't like it when they ask questions of the witness and then they don't give them a chance to respond.
I know we talked about that, and I had actually have a, we can't play it now, but there is a, I did bring in a cut of a question and his response.
Okay,
to
maybe
it.
You can do that.
Yeah,
we can do, well, can do it tomorrow.
Well, I'll play
tomorrow
it
we're educating America.
Yeah.
Trivia Friday.
That's right. All right, so thank you, Steve.
Are there some stories on that issue on American Family News?
Yes, a story I wrote that's running today.
All right.
On this hearing, yeah.
Go to AFN.
AFN.net.
.net.
Where you're safe.
Yes.
AFN.net is a safe place.
Search
right?
for anything you want on AFN.net.
Unless you're a liberal.
You might get triggered.
All right, Fred, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ed, thank you. My thanks to Sandy Rios and Christopher Woodward and Brent Creeley, our producer. Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll see you back here
Thank
then.
You, Steve.
You're welcome.